Welcome to Choice Tunes. Now, we know what we've got. We've got a special guest, this person you, I'm sure most of you will know, and we find out a bit about their life and also about the music that's had an influence on their lives. So, it's, look, Peter, I think we've got to say who you are because I think it might have already got up the Facebook as to who the special guest was. So is that all right with you?
Yep, no problem, Alan.
It's no, well, it was going to be a secret, but Peter is our investigator that we talk to once a month. So it's great to have Peter with us, but we're going to talk about his life. So welcome, Peter.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Alan.
Oh, it's great. Now, we ask just a little bit about your background. We don't want to know too much. Whereabouts were you born, Peter?
Born in Melbourne, so I'm an eastern suburbs boy.
And were you brought, did you come up as a youth through the eastern suburbs?
Yeah, look, I was very fortunate, had a very stable childhood, spent the first 18 years of my life at the same residence.
Yep.
And basically I made the move out of home and moved into South Yarra.
With other guys or...?
No, I was on my own most of the time, actually, and I was very fortunate that I got the first job I went for. So completed my HSC and started working, I think, around about the 18th of December after completing my HSC.
Terrific. Was that your first job? Did you have a part-time job as you were going through school or was that your first job, Peter?
I'd had a couple of part-time jobs and I'd done a paper round, but nothing really sort of permanent. So, yeah, it was my first, the first real job I went for, I was fortunate enough to get. It was at a merchant bank.
Yep.
And I started off as mail boy. I'll clarify that's M-A-I-L and not M-A-L-E.
Yep.
And I was very fortunate to stay with the same employer and work my way up through the ranks. I actually followed closely behind a person who started, I think, about 6 months before me. To the point that I finished up dealing foreign exchange based in Sydney for the same firm.
Oh, right. So you moved to Sydney at some stage of your game, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I went up and down the Hume Highway, I think about six times in total, three times up and back.
So, you eventually relocated up there, Peter, obviously?
Yeah, I was relocated initially for the same, I'm happy to say it was a merchant bank called Australian United Corporation, which yep. No one would know, but it became yep. JP Morgan Australia, which most people would be familiar with JP Morgan. Yeah.
So how long were you in the banking, Peter?
About 10 years.
And then what brought you back to Melbourne?
Basically necessity, the boom and bust of the deregulation of the banking industry.
Yep.
And really came back to Melbourne with no job prospects after being receiving my third Don't Come Monday. Yep. and then fell into the investigation business.
So let me ask you, what made you decide to get into investigations, Peter?
Oh, look, necessity, no question. I answered an ad in the paper and I had very little options. I had no formal education. Oh. So I just started doing insurance investigations and built from there slowly, very slowly built a business.
So when you got into the insurance investigation, that was for an insurance company?
No, for an investigation firm that worked,
yep.
That completed files from the insurance company. Sorry.
Oh. So
things like motor vehicle accidents, motor vehicle thefts, burglaries, home and contents claims, a little bit of arson, a little bit of fire, but probably mainly motor vehicle related things.
Yeah, that's terrific. All right, Peter, we'll get started on your music because some of these
sure.
are quite long ones, so we've got to try and fit most of them in. The first one is four-wheel drive, the Backham Turner Overdrive. Why did you pick that?
Look, that was the very first vinyl album that I ever received. It was a 13th birthday present from my parents, but my mum used to work at a place called Brash's.
Oh, I remember Brash's.
Your older audience might remember.
Hey, well, that's this older cape.
Yeah, that's right. Some of the younger generation. And basically that turned into a contest between myself and my sister in the room next door. She'd belled out Linda Ronstadt and I'd belled out Backman Turner Overdrive. And my poor parents were trying to watch the ABC in the lounge room on the TV. So
Did she have Linda Ronstadt all over the walls? You know, because my sister used to have stuff like that on the walls for her favourite singers.
I don't know. I don't think I ever went in her room, so possibly.
Didn't want to know. All right, Peter will play the first song, which is Backman Turner Overdrive and Four Wheel Drive.
Thank you.
Choice Tunes. We've got Peter on the line. You know Peter, so or you know of Peter. You've heard him on Community Connections, but we're talking about his life. Peter, you said you got into insurance work with an insurance company as an investigator. Out of the claims that you looked at over the period of time, or I should ask you, how long were you in working for the insurance company, Peter?
Yeah, so just to clarify, I never worked directly.
Yep.
So I worked for an investigation firm.
For how long, Peter?
And the insurance company would give them a, a handful of files, sometimes more.
Yep.
And some of them would get farmed out to me, and I'd go out and and conduct an investigation.
So how long did you do that for, Peter?
Good 10 or 12 years, I think.
Fair enough. Out of the claims that you got, how many would, like what percentage, 1%, 10%, 20% do you reckon were dodgy claims?
Probably less than 10%. But the thing with insurance companies is there's a bit of a push, some comments going around at the moment about home and contents insurance policies being affected by people that run businesses from home. So what happens is insurance companies, because it's contract law, if there's any sort of non-disclosure or technicality, obviously they're going to rely on that. And look, I would say as a rule of thumb, you're probably very unlikely to ever beat an insurance company in court.
Never going to happen, is it?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it in my experience, but there are probably some solicitors that might say the opposite, and they might be able to sort of get a settlement if you think you've been dealt with unfairly. But, probably a low percentage that you'd actually sit down and go, wow, that looks pretty shocking. But I think with most cases is if the insurer wants to find a reason to not pay the claim, there's probably... person of that ilk, there's always a reason. So whether it's a non-disclosure of something or whatever the case might be.
Peter, you also mentioned car thefts. I've heard only anecdotal, it's nothing right, that did you ever come across any where you reckon the car was actually not stolen by a crook, was just something done to it just because the car was a bit of a dog and they couldn't get a decent trade-in? Is that true, or is that just an old wives' tale?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably more so heavy equipment or heavy machinery could have a... that could be more of a factor for that sort of thing to happen. But, yeah, definitely vehicles. There could also be, and I came across a few of these over the journey, where... perhaps a younger child might have taken the car and the parents have put it up as being stolen, and it turns out that it was one of the children that had borrowed the keys and got themselves into a bit of mischief whilst they were out in mum and dad's car.
All right. Peter, take me in your arms. Well, no, not literally.
Not literally.
By the Doobie Brothers. Why did you pick that?
Yeah, so this is one of the... bands that my sister and I actually did agree on that we liked, and she introduced me to the Doobie Brothers via their first album, which was called The Captain and Me, back in 1973.
Yep.
But this track is called Take Me in Your Arms, which is one of their probably more popular tracks, and this was from the last album that they did before Michael McDonald joined the band and took it off in a slightly different direction. Okay. So the album's called Stampede, and it came out in 1975.
Sounds terrific. Peter, is your sister older or younger?
Slightly older.
Because the younger ones are the ones you... that can give you a hard time at times. All right, let's listen to the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah.
Peter, does your sister still follow the Doobie Brothers, do you know?
Yeah, I think we both do. I, you know, on the rotation of songs that you get lost on YouTube for hours on end, or I'll sit at the computer and have some music on in the background, the Doobies come up quite a lot, and I think she's probably the same.
Oh, very good. Peter, we like to ask the real hard questions on this show, and we like to put you under pressure. What was your first car?
First car was a Ford wagon. It was a Holden wagon. Didn't last very long. But my first decent car was an XW Falcon sedan.
Oh, they were a beautiful car, weren't they?
That was a great car. We used to call it the Copper Rocket.
So how long did you have that, Peter?
I had that for a good few years, about 5 or 6, and then my mum actually took it off me and unfortunately got stolen out of the driveway and got found burnt out at the top of Blackburn Road.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, that was the end of the Copper Rocket.
It'd be worth a lot of money if you still had it now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was obviously original. So, yeah, it's a great car.
Yeah, great car. Righto, Peter, So Far Away by Dire Straits. Why'd you pick this?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of change of pace, and I think having been married for quite a while, and I was away for work in Singapore, and we were both Dire Straits fans already, and the album Brothers in Arms came out, it was 1985, and one of the slower tracks on it was called So Far Away, and my wife and I used to, back then there was very little internet and that, but we had the occasional contact, and we basically adopted that as our little song.
Terrific. Peter, what took you to Singapore? I can't let that go.
That was the merchant banking. So I actually did a foreign exchange dealership course over there. It went on for about 3 months, and then I stayed for another month, I think it was, to actually do some work in the foreign exchange room in JP Morgan Singapore, which is a pretty big big setup. Yeah.
That'd be a real experience, wouldn't it?
It was a real experience. Yeah, I taught them how to drink beer. So,
all right, let's play Dire Straits, So Far Away.
Thank you.
Away from me. You're so far away.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. We've gone up 1 degree. We're up to 14. We're looking for a top of 15. And we're talking to Peter, who is our private investigator, who we hear from, and he'll be on next Wednesday. We'll talk about all sorts of things. Peter, I don't think I've ever heard of this song, and the title of it has got me really, really intrigued, Making Flippy Floppy. What's that all about?
Yeah, look, it's a song from an album by a band called Talking Heads, which some people will know and some people won't. They probably know something about Stop Making Sense, which is a live video that they did. But the album's called Speaking in Tongues, which came out in 1983. And if anyone could be bothered, I recommend they search on YouTube for the Stop Making Sense version of this particular song, Making Flippy Floppy. Yep. And it's slightly sped up, but it really highlights some brilliant bass playing by the bass player called Tina Weymouth, who's got a bit of a reputation for being a fantastic female bass player.
Right.
Probably one of the first, in fact, I think, or thereabouts anyway. But there's some really relevant lyrics in the song, things like, we are born without eyesight, we are born without sin. Our president's crazy, did you hear what he said? And that came to the fore, I think, when Mr. Trump was in office, that they kept referring back to that particular line that was penned by David Byrne, I would assume, from Talking Heads. And look, it's just a wonderful album. There's about, the whole album, but there's probably 8 tracks in particular that I go back to when I'm a little bit flat and I need a bit of a pick-me-up and get a bit of pencil tapping and some drumming on the desk and stuff like that. And Talking Heads are basically an alternative band. They've been referred to as punk, but I don't think that's really right. I don't think they can be pigeonholed, to be quite honest.
Fair enough. All right, let's listen to Talking Heads and Making Flippy Floppy.
Thank you.
Everybody. Get in line. Nothing can come between us. Nothing gets you down. Nothing strikes your fancy. Nothing turns you on. Somebody is waiting in the hallway. Somebody is falling down the stairs. Set someone free. Break someone's heart. Stand up. Help us out. Everything is divided. Nothing is complete. Everything looks impressive. Do not be deceived. You don't have to wait for more instructions. No one makes a monkey out of me. We lie on our backs, feet in the air, rest and relaxation, rocket to my brain. Snap into position. Back to you, babe. You step out.
I came to you tomorrow and forget about qualifications, forget about what part of the world, if I said to you you could have any job in the world you wanted, what job would you what would you like to do?
Oh, you'd have to say Prime Minister, wouldn't you?
Would you? Oh, I wouldn't want it to fit.
Well, I think there's so much wrong that you'd like to think you'd be able to do something.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, I don't have a big interest in politics. I reckon it'd be one of the worst jobs. But anyway, it's what it is. Peter, now I'm a bit worried about this, whether you hang on, I have a tick there. Phone's just gone off here, which shouldn't have been in the studio. The title of this, I'm not sure whether you're having a shot at me or what. The music is crap. What's this all about, Peter?
Okay, so what this one's about, it's firstly an acknowledgement to Australian music, because there's a lot of fantastic Australian music, and yep. I've enjoyed a lot of it over the years, including from this band, which is called Custard.
Yep.
And then plenty of others, UMI, Rebecca's Empire, The Cruel Sea and The Church. So yep. They're not necessarily the mainstream bands that people would immediately think as Aussie music. Obviously, you'd normally go AC/DC and Skyhooks and things yep. like that. But look, this song stuck with our family because that line, the music is crap, we use it as code if we're not particularly happy with something, or you might get served a bit of food that you're not really happy with. We basically just say to each other, the music is crap. And then if people give you an odd look, we continue on with the line, which is aliens told us so, which normally draws even more astonished expressions. But this is one of the songs that was on Rage many years ago, and I used to take care of the firstborn on a Friday and Saturday night, and I'd be in the armchair and she'd be asleep on my shoulder or awake on my shoulder, and this was one of the songs that was on Rage back in in the 90s.
Does your daughter still like it, or is she sick of it?
Yeah, she actually nominated quite a few songs, but we came out with this one because of the line from the song is something that our family actually uses, as I mentioned, as a form of code, if you like. Code.
All right, let's listen to it. It's Custard and Music is Crap.
Red eyes, blue gaze, you look like hell today. Step out on parade, you do it so well. Your favorite shirt, those shoes that you bought in Perth, dumb hair, smart slacks, that's rock apparel. Just listen, become a receiver and then space out when you're a believer. That's what religion's for. The music is crap. Think of your friends, then put one on the door. Everything's free, but we're still poor. Don't matter what you like, aliens hate it. Rock, pop, metal shop, they just parade it. And I found they dig the silence, hate the sound. So pick up your telescope, put your guitars down. That's what I found. Music is crap, aliens told us so. Better than that, we're gonna let you know. Just listen, become a receiver and then space out when you're a believer. That's what religion.
be here next Wednesday between 12 and 2 with Community Connections, and I know one of them will be our private investigator. So if you've got any questions you want asked, send us an email at info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. That's info@yarravalleyfm.org.au, and I'll put them to our private investigator next week. Peter, we're at a dinner party, or we're at a party, and I walk up to you and I ask you what you do for a job. And maybe you don't want to tell me to start, but I persist. So eventually you tell me. So it must have happened to you. What's the first reaction you get from somebody when you say to them, I'm a private investigator?
Oh, look, there's definitely a novelty element when you tell people what you do, and they have the obvious TV and movie connotations, of course.
The fast car, the red fast car, the sports car, and the blonde, and you always win the blonde. And do they have the same impression as that?
That's your connotation, but not everybody's.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that theirs or
what? No, I think majority of people say, I've never met one before. That's probably the majority of comment that comes out. And then, of course, must be interesting. It must be intriguing. Can I come out and sit in the car with you for hours? And I go, yeah, but the novelty wears off pretty quick. So,
Peter, Pink Floyd and Julia Dream. Oh, did you pick that one?
Yes, that's dedicated to the second born, who had a habit of entertaining herself when she was younger and would drift off for seemingly hours at a time. So as Pink Floyd has a song for every occasion, I used to play or sing this to her, much to her dislike.
But she didn't like it in the end.
She didn't like it, and she it made her practice that stare that her mother taught her.
All right, let's listen to it. Pink Floyd and Julia Dream.
Cheers.
Back to Choice Tunes. Peter, we know you're a private investigator. That's what you do for a living. What's the most satisfying aspect out of being a private investigator? What makes you, gives you a buzz at the end of the week, the end of the month, or the end of the year, and you look back and you think, I love this job because you've gone quiet. Oh, sorry, sorry, Peter. I hit the wrong button. Did you hear the question, Peter?
I heard the question okay, and the answer is it's probably more about the individual job when you get that. You solve the problem, you get the answer, you get the information and the evidence, whether that's for your corporate client or your private client or whoever it might be. That's the satisfaction in getting the result for them.
Terrific. Nutbush City Limits, Tina Turner. Why did that get in there?
This is the only song that I know the steps to, so pretty much every footy or cricket presentation night it'll come on. And that should be my only sojourn onto the dance floor.
Righto, let's play it. Thank you so much for being part of today's show and sharing a bit of your life with us. We're running right out of time, so we're going to play the last one, which is Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here. Why did that make it, Peter?
Pretty much it's my favourite song. It's a tough one to split from Comfortably Numb, also by Pink Floyd, and if anyone could be bothered having a look at the Live 8 version of Comfortably Numb when Dave Gilmour plays the two guitar solos. It's a pretty special moment. But look, Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here is from the album Wish You Were Here in 1975. Just a track you always go back to, and it's probably one song which you might do to me today, but you never, ever cut it short, if you know what I mean. It's just a
unfortunately, we're going to have to today.
Yeah. And funny part about that, Dave Gilmour, who plays the, I think, both versions of the guitar in this, he got interviewed once and he complained that that one of the versions, which is a person playing to a radio, playing the guitar in his room to the radio, and he said he wished he had done it a little better. But the interviewer pointed out that the fact that it was a little bit loose actually what makes the song, where you get the two different guitar techniques.
Oh,
Yeah.
So all right, Peter, I'm going to have to cut it short, but thanks for being part of it. We'll talk to you next week on Community Connections.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much, Peter. Bye.
Tell a green field.